ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ We have started this chapter 5 of the Bhagavad Gita with a question by Arjuna. Bhagavan in the previous verse, in the previous two verses, has been talking about karma. Chapter 3, which was triggered by a question by Arjuna again, saying, why are you asking me to do karma when knowledge is superior? Yes, knowledge is superior, Arjun, but it requires a certain qualification on the part of the seeker, which you don't have. So for you, karma is the option. And because karma is the option, it has to be done with a certain attitude so that your mind reaches that stage where it can absorb the knowledge which I had given you in chapter 2 and you did not absorb it. And that's why I know that your mind is not ready. So you have to do karma yoga, and all the principles of karma yoga were explained to do with surrender to the Lord, asanga buddhi, samatva buddhi, etc., etc. And then Bhagwan went on to say that after doing karma yoga, and this is not like for 1 or 2 months, it could be births and births, many, many years, then the person becomes ready for karma sannyas in jnana. So karma sannyas, sannyas renunciation, but renunciation in knowledge, not a physical renunciation of work, but renunciation of that doership, knowing that there is an unchanging substratum behind all the actions, which is actually not doing anything. So the mind getting attached to that substratum, recognizing that substratum, and then acting in the external world is karma sannyas in knowledge. So sannyas in knowledge, sannyas with knowledge. After having explained karma sannyas in knowledge and verse 18, like I told you, which was the heart of chapter 4, seeing action in inaction and inaction in action, Bhagwan at the very end tells Arjun, you do karma. Now, again, there is a little bit of misunderstanding on Arjun's part. He thinks karma sannyas is disengagement and karma is engagement. Obviously, karma, doing karma is engagement. Engagement and disengagement are two opposite things. And okay, if disengagement is superior, why do I have to engage? Why do I have to engage in work? Why do I have to engage in this war? What he has mistaken here is that he thinks disengagement is a physical disengagement from karma, which is not what Bhagwan meant. What he meant by disengagement was a disengagement from the doership of karma and the enjoyership of karma. So it's a disengagement which is a notion. It is not a physical withdrawal from work, but it is a notion. To reach even that notion is not very easy. I mean, Bhagwan has said it. That doesn't mean that suddenly now we'll give up doership and enjoyership. So that is not that easy. Now, Arjun here is thinking it is disengagement in the physical sense. So again, he doesn't understand if that is superior. Yes, as a general rule, of course, karma sannyas is superior or subtler than karma yoga, but you have to be qualified for it. Because it is harder being subtler. It is an attitude of the mind. And because it is such, it is actually very easy to physically disengage from work. I will not do it. That is also coming out of ego. The ignorant person doesn't recognize it. But that is easy. It is not as easy to give up the doership. Somewhere in the mind, there always is a thought, I am the one that is doing it. So being subtle, it's more difficult. Being more difficult, you require a certain qualification, which Arjun still does not have. So Bhagwan says, yes, as a general rule, yes, karma sannyas is superior, but Arjun, not for you. This dialogue that is going on is a one-on-one dialogue. Please remember this. In a satsang, in a general satsang, when you ask general questions to the, to Swamiji or to the guru or anybody, then you will always get a general answer. Now, the general answer, is karma yoga superior or karma sannyas? Of course, the general answer is karma sannyas is superior. Of course it is. General answer. But if somebody asks, what do you think for me? Do you think karma yoga is superior karma sannyas? Then the guru will answer knowing the student. If the student is like Arjuna, if the student is like us, it will be said, no, for you, karma yoga is superior. For you, you have to do that. Because your mind is not yet ready. Okay? So this is a personal advice which is being given. And because we can identify with Arjun, we are in that place, we take it as an advice for us. Some of us may be ready for karma sannyas. I don't know. If you are, I am not. If you are, please. Yes, then for you it is karma sannyas. So Bhagwan starts off saying that these two paths, which you think they are two, actually they are not two. Because engagement and then disengagement, you think like they're two opposite things. They're not. Engage in the world intelligently. Engage in the world such that it leads you to disengagement. So it's a one path only. It's like going from grade 1 to grade 6 to grade 12 and to on to university. They're not two different paths. University is a different path and high school is a different path. No. Elementary is required. Elementary schooling is required. Then the high schooling is required. Then only you can go to university. They're not two opposite paths. They will say, what are you qualified for? So this way, it is the same thing. So Bhagwan says, you may think they are different paths, but actually they are not, because the goal is one and the same. How is the goal of engagement and disengagement the same? Because they too seem opposite to each other. Yes, you engage intelligently so that your mind gets enough purification to understand what exactly disengagement is. It is a notion. It is a disengagement from doership. When that happens, you will be qualified for knowledge, and then you will get knowledge, and that will lead you to liberation. For both, liberation itself is the goal. There is not a different goal for this, and then there is not a different goal for that. So this is what Bhagwan has said in verse 2, that the yoga of action, but of the two, yoga of action is superior to the renunciation of action. And I told you, this is a personal advice to Arjun. Okay, if this was a general satsang, he would have said karma sannyas is superior, but it is not a general satsang, it is a one-on-one advice. So for you, Arjun, no, you have to do karma yoga because you are not ready. Then Bhagwan goes on to say, the one whom I consider as a nitya sannyasi is the one who doesn't hate and who doesn't desire. Who doesn't means who doesn't like. Because here the word kankshati is used, desire. Desire is a synonym for like in this verse. Because I will only desire that thing which I like. I'm never going to desire something that I don't like. So dveshti is hate, dislike. And kankshati is like. So one who is... So that's why I understand sannyas is not ochre robes and yellow robes and going away somewhere. No. You staying in your own home, doing your own duties, if you can overcome the likes and dislikes in the mind, then I consider him to be a nitya sannyasi. Nitya is only one. So this nitya sannyasi means one who is always focused on that nitya vastu, which is sat, which is om in the chart. Okay, so one who is focused on the pure consciousness. So here, in context of chapter 4, one who is focused on that substratum, one who is focused on the vision that and knows, understands, realizes what action in inaction is and what inaction in action is, that is the one, that is the focus on this nitya. That is the word nitya here. Okay, so... Know him to be, I consider any person who has his focus on this vision and he is now beyond likes and dislikes, one who is Nirdvandva, who has gone above the pairs of opposites, the world is nothing but pairs of opposites, don't keep on fighting with the world, why this happened, why that happened, and Sukham Bandhat Pramuchyate. So this person then will get freedom. Muchyate freedom, pramuchyate prakarshena muchyate. He will easily, sukham here doesn't mean happiness, but easily. You know, like when things happen easily, then it's like, okay, happy. When you have to struggle for something, then it's like a dukkha, it is like a sorrow. So here sukham is not to be taken literally as happiness, it is to be taken as very easily. Very easily he will get liberated from bondage. What is the bondage? It is the likes and dislikes which are binding us. Please understand, bondage, there's no, Gurudev is, there's no physical bondage. We are not tied to the house. But I am attached in my mind to the house. Oh God, maybe something, I hope nothing happens to the house. I hope not. So it's only in the mind. The bondage is only in the mind. There's no physical bondage. So he says very easily, one who overcomes likes and dislikes will be freed from bondage. And so obviously for us, excuse me, the sadhana would be to overcome likes and dislikes, which is purification of the mind. Okay, so understanding that, I've told you this before, but understanding that whatever comes to me is my prarabdha, that is one way, whether it is good or bad, it is because of my past actions. Understanding that this world is ephemeral, nothing is permanent, even this too shall pass. So all these ideas, when we, you know, cultivate, that will help us overcome likes and dislikes. Then Bhagwan goes on to say that Sankhya Yoga Prithak Balaha, people of childish intelligence, not children, but people who are immature in their thinking. They think that these are two different paths. There's nothing like that. Samya Ubhayor Vindate Phalam. Both of them, samyak, when they are done one after the other, when they are done, they will give the same result. So how can, see, if there are two different paths, how they will give the same result? If I'm traveling north and if I'm traveling south, how the north, where will I reach? I'll reach North Pole, south I'll reach the United States or somewhere. How it can give, it's a different directions. So engagement and disengagement is not like that. It's not like it's going in two different directions. They're going in the same. They have to be done one after the other. And therefore, they will reach the same goal. And it's only the childish people. It's only the immature people think that the goal is different. There is no different goal. Arjun, you start doing karma yoga, you will end up in karma sannyas, you will end up in knowledge. So not to worry at all. This is what Bhagwan has said. And then that place which is to be reached by the Sankhyas, I told you, Sankhya here is not Sankhya philosophy, but it is knowledge, Jnana Marga, and by the Yogins, which is Karma Yogins, is one and the same. It is the same. It is me. Ultimately, everybody has to come to me. Ultimately, everybody will come to me. I believe that we had stopped here. Am I right? We start from 6, verse 6. Okay. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkham apnuma yogatah yoga yukto munir brahma nachirena adhigacchati. But renunciation, O mighty armed, is hard to attain without yoga. The yoga harmonized man of steady contemplation quickly goes to Brahman. Yes, Arjun. Yes, sannyas is superior. A general advice, not for Arjun. But it is superior, so it is harder to get. So Bhagwan says, O mighty armed, means you can do it. Don't worry, you're strong enough. That's why referring to Arjun as Mahabaho. It is hard to attain without yoga. Here yoga doesn't mean Hatha yoga or that physical yoga. Here yoga means karma yoga, the one who has done karma yoga. So yoga harmonized man of steady contemplation, yoga harmonized, harmony between the body, mind and intellect. So whatever the intellect knows to be correct, so the correct attitude, the mind is following it and the actions coming out. So that's the harmony. What happens in karma yoga, I told you, in karma yoga, it's always a win-win situation. So outside results may or may not come, but internal. Karma has got two results, internal and external. A karma yogi always focuses on the internal result. An internal result is peace of mind. There is no peace only in harmony. When there is a dichotomy, you know, when the intellect is telling you, no, this is not right, this is not right. And the mind is saying, it's okay. It's the 10th gulab jam. What's the big deal? Eat it. You see, there is a dichotomy. The mind and intellect are now telling you two different things. And now you don't know should I not? You know what is the correct thing. Everybody knows what is the correct thing to do. But the mind pushes, right? But the one who is a karma yogi, because his mind is coming to peace. And how is it coming to peace? Because it is getting rid of its likes and dislikes. Okay? Because karma yoga is meant for getting rid of likes and dislikes. Because everything is being now done as a duty. This is my duty to do. Whether I like it or not, I will do it. And there is a surrender of that ego. So this yoga harmonized man who is yukta, yoga yukto, yukta again, yoga also coming from the root yuj, yukta also coming from the root yuj to join. So one who is joined with yoga, karma yoga, muni, he is a muni, munir brahma. So yes, he becomes a man, muni is a man of steady wisdom. Manishina also word is there, that also muni, because muni coming from mana, so the mind is very steady. It is, see, our intellect is always steady, let me tell you, it is the mind which is fickle. So when the thoughts are in very fickle, should I do this, should I not do this, should I, you know, that sort of state is the state of the mind. And the intellect is very steady. But when the mind comes to become steady, means what? When the mind unites with the intellect, then it will be steady. That's the only way the mind will be steady. When the mind immediately agrees that, oh yeah, intellect is saying this, this is correct, and this is how I'm going to do it, this is what I'm going to do, there'll be harmony. And that harmony will come with karma yoga. When we are doing karma with the specific attitudes, as I've been explained in chapter 3, Achirenadi adhigacchati. Achirena. Chira is long time. Achira, not long. Erlong. So it's before long, adhigacchati. He will reach his destination. He will get purified and he will come to karma sannyas. This is reaching the goal through karma. And the three chapters have been dedicated to this because, you know, most of us, 99% of us, there is no choice other than karma. There's very few people who can just go into contemplation, you know, very, very highly evolved people who have done karma in the past. Then even in their young age, they're very contemplative and they'll always think about the truth, etc., etc. But most of us can't do that. Most of us are very, very rajasic. The vasanas are pushing. There is a push of the vasanas. And to reduce that push, vasana kshaya, to reduce that push of the vasanas, you engage in karma because the vasanas are pushing you to do karma. So you engage, yes, you engage with full enthusiasm and slowly, slowly start changing your attitude. And that is what will lead you to the push of the vasanas will become a little bit loose. And then once that happens, so for us, the instruction is to keep doing karma yoga, purify the mind, pacify the mind, bring it under the complete control of the intellect. So whenever the intellect says whatever, the mind listens, then there'll be peace within. So the internal result of karma, our attention should always be on the internal result and not what am I going to get. So that attitude should not be there. Okay. Then who can do this? So next, verse 7, Bhagwan says, Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvannapi na lipyate. He who is devoted to the path of action, whose mind is quite pure, who has conquered the self, who has subdued subdued his senses, who realizes his self as the self in all beings, though acting, he is not tainted. The word Atma here has been used four times in this verse. So Vishuddha Atma, first word, Atma. Vijit Atma. Sarva Bhut Atma, and then Bhut Atma. So there are four words, four times Atma has been used. Now Vishuddha Atma purified. See, this word here, Atma, generally, in a general sense, Atma means pure consciousness. Or Atma is Brahman, which is in the individual. Okay, that is Atma. But here we cannot say that. Why? Vishuddha Atma, Vishuddha purified, very extremely purified Atma. Does pure consciousness require any kind of purification? No. So here, Vishuddha Atma, Atma means mind. One with a very purified mind. Yoga Yukta, one who is Yukta, one who is joined with that Karma Yoga, becomes Vishuddha Atma. His mind becomes extremely purified. When the mind becomes purified, then follows what? Vijit Atma. Atma here means body. If the mind, see, body acts because the mind is desiring something. The body will never do any action if the mind doesn't tell it to do. Okay, so now if the mind is constantly telling it to do the correct actions, that means you conquered the body. So once Vishuddha Atma happens, means once the mind gets purified, Vijit Atma will automatically follow. Means the body will automatically come into control. Because the mind only is telling it, no, don't do this. So why the body will say, body? See, mind goes against the intellect. Body suddenly cannot go against the intellect. Body is under the control of, mind is under the control of the intellect. Body is under the control of the mind. That's why mind is called as the king of the senses. So if the mind says that I want to go and see a movie, then the body is going to buy a ticket and drive itself to the movie theater and see the movie. But if the mind only says, no, I don't want to see, I want to stay home. Now the body, all of us, body is inert. It is not going to just get up and start going to the movies. So Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma will automatically, so Vishuddhatma is first. Purify the mind, Vijitatma will come. Then automatically Jitendriya comes because senses, Indriya, jit, it means one who has won over the senses. Senses are part of the body. So if the body is only not going to the movie theater, what the eyes will see the movies? And the eyes have no say in anything. Eyes only take in color and form. They don't say that this color, mind is the one that says, I want to see only this color or that form. The mind says, I want to hear this type of music, that I want to eat this type of food. It is the mind which is saying all those things. Senses are not saying anything. Now the mind is not saying, see the movie. Mind is not saying, listen to music. Mind is not saying, eat this kind of food, that kind of food, eat so much food, that much food. Then the tongue is not going to go anywhere. The eyes are not going to go anywhere. So once the mind is purified, automatically there is control over the body. Automatically there is control over the senses. Then what happens is, when this happens, when there is this self-controlled, self-disciplined life which is being led, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, then the knowledge will start arising that the self in me is the self in all. So that is Tattvajnan, that is Vidnyan. It will start through karma. See, there are people, Janak, that's why Janak, King Janak has been mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Through karma, they have attained this goal. So for householders, you know, we need not think that, my God, I cannot go and take sannyas and I cannot go and live in the ashram and how will I do all this? We need not think. We just perform our own duties. And that's it. Through that, this realization will come. Okay, so what will happen is, maybe not in this life, but the mind will be taken to such a level, even if we can take it to that level, this life we already became householders, we have no choice. If we can take it in our next birth, we'll be, even from our childhood, we'll be very contemplative in nature. Okay, so this is in chapter 6 now he will tell us that when you have practiced for a long time, whatever I've said, then you'll pick it up. If you, God forbid, if you suddenly pass away or suddenly you give up, there are a lot of people in the mission in here, they come for a certain, then they stop coming. That's okay. Because they will pick it up in their next life. But the question is, why wait for your next life? Because you don't know what kind of life it will be. So that's why it's better to just try and complete it in this life. So Jitendra, then what happens is, then he realizes his self as the self in Sarva Bhutatma, Bhutatma. Sarva Bhutatma means that Atma, which is in Sarva all, is the same in me. Or the other way, the Atma in me, the self in me, is the same self in all. And then what happens is, when he realizes that, means what? This Sarva Bhutatma, Bhutatma is related to verse 18 in chapter 4. When he's recognizing that substratum, which is really not doing anything, and based on that substratum, because of that substratum, all these actions are happening. When he comes to realize this, kurvan na api lipyate, kurvan, even though he acts, he can act very dynamically, very enthusiastically. That's why we have seen Pujya Gurudev, Swami Vivekananda, constantly engaged in action. No problem. It is not binding them. Because the nature of karma is to bind. But they have now realized this non-doing substratum. They have realized this Sarva Bhutatma, Bhutatma. Now they can do any amount of karma and nothing is tainting them. Na lipyate. Limpante. Lep is to, like an ointment or something when your muscle is hurting. It touches you. Lep is like passing over. Like you'll take an ointment and you'll rub it. Like now hands are getting dry, so you put Vaseline on your hands. So that is lep. That is that limbanti. This lep to happen, there has to be a locus. And what happens in the case of a karmi? Karmi means one who is doing, thinking that he's the doer. That doership becomes the locus, and that's what the karma sticks to in subtle form. Huh? Physically, nothing sticks to us, but in subtle form. And then those subtle impressions become a cause for our next birth. So here what is happening is, because he has realized himself to be the non-doer, and how did it happen? How did it come about? Starting with Yoga Yukto. So he was joined with yoga. Which yoga? Karma Yoga. So first he was joined with Karma Yoga, because of which he became Vishuddhatma, Atma meaning mind, because of which his mind got purified. If mind gets purified, body and senses, no problem. Immediately they will come under control. There is absolutely no delay. Mind is the most important thing there. So with Karma Yoga, he's controlled his mind, body and senses, automatic. He doesn't have to control the first mind, then control the body, then control, nothing like that. Immediate. And then he will come to realize in that purified mind, this realization will happen. That's why Arjun, you do Karma Yoga. You're still at that stage. You have not become Yoga Yukta. So you do karma. That's why Bhagwan is telling Arjun, you do. And this is what will follow. This is what will. And then no matter how much you fight, no matter you kill your grandfather, whoever you kill, it is not going to taint you. It is not going to touch you. It is not going to become a cause for your further births. This is what Bhagwan is telling you. Now, 8 and 9. Verse 7, Bhagwan has given the principle. And 8 and 9 is the manifestation of that principle. Okay? What is the principle? That when I do Karma Yoga, I will, if I do it correctly, this Karma Yoga, I will become Vishuddhatma, following which I will become Vijitatma, following which I will become Jitendriya, following which I will recognize that substratum which was mentioned in verse 18 of chapter 4, that substratum which is not doing anything, upon which the dance of actions is happening. Once I recognize that, no action will taint me. For us, instruction again is very, very strict adherence to our own duties. Okay? Duties to be determined by Shastra. How does Shastra determine? As per our Varna, as per our Ashrama. So no matter what anybody says to you, whatever, place yourself in that Ashrama and see where you are. And as per that will be your duty. When you strictly adhere to duty, it will automatically withdraw you from other pursuits. Because if you say that this is my duty and this is not my duty, and if you strictly follow your duty and don't do things which is not your duty. So getting engaged in actions which are not necessary, getting engaged in conversations, in parties, is that think, is it my duty? Like, okay, you know, long time back, somebody, these two rich ladies had come to PSC and they asked Guruji, they said, Swamiji, but you know, my husbands, they have business parties and then we have to go attend with them and we have to attend weddings, this, that. But like Swamiji said, okay, you have to attend some party and some dinner. Okay, once the dinner is over, why do you have to stay and gossip? Why do you have to stay and talk? If the wedding is over, he says, even I get invited to weddings. I have to go. I just go. Once the wedding is over, I just leave. So that way, you know, it's not your duty to engage in gossip. That's why the importance of this duty. Realize, okay, they're talking about some third people, you know. Does it fall in the purview of my duty to talk about third people? Now you don't talk. Does it fall under my purview to like pass on information which I shouldn't be? Somebody told me in confidence, is it my duty to like just go and blabber it to other people? No, it is not. Then you don't. So this is how when you become aware of your own duty, you know, Yama Sadhana, Niyama Sadhana, it is called. Yama Sadhana is your behavior with others, with society. Is it my duty to go pass on information? Oh, you know, that one's daughter ran away, that one's that happened. Is it my duty? Does it fall under my, even if I'm a grahastha, suppose I'm in grahastha ashram, even then, is it my duty of a grahastha to be passing information of other people? No. If you think like this, you know what? There's no reason only to talk to other people. Let me tell you. Unless there is some work, literally, you know, like, okay, this is what I need or want or whatever. That's a different matter. Otherwise, most of the conversations are just like general, who did what? Hi, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. If I need, I'll call you. There will be no. So this is what? Yama Sadhana, our behavior with the society outside. It should be such that it is not a botheration to anybody, you know. Niyama sadhana, niyama, self-discipline. Our own life should be very disciplined within ourselves so that, you know, we conduct ourselves in a proper manner. Then asana sadhana, then all these, you know, body get coming under control, trying to practice. All our practices should be, ultimately, they have to culminate in nididhyasana, meditation, because that's why that's the next chapter now, chapter 6. So that's why this vijitatma and all become very important. Vijitatma means control over the body. When your mind is controlled, and then when the mind tells the body, now it is meditation time and we have to sit here for half an hour or 15 minutes, the body is not going to move. That's what it is. This is what it's leading to now. Okay. So the principle in verse 7 is now being elaborated in 8 and 9 by giving the example of these two are now pertaining straight off to realized masters. Okay, this is Sthita Prajna that we saw in chapter 2, and when we do chapter 12, it will be Bhakta Lakshana, these two, and then also in 14, Gunati the Purusha. These two verses apply to all of these. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manneta tatvavita pashyan shrunvan sprashan jighran ashnan gachan swapanshvasan pralapan visrajan grinhan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyartheshu vartantaiti dharayan. Speaking. Na eva kinchit karomi iti. Na eva kinchit. Even slightly, I don't do these things. What things don't I not do? Speaking. I don't speak. Letting go. Seizing. Letting go. You know, throwing something away. Seizing. Catching. Opening and closing of unmish nimisha and closing the eyes. Convinced that the senses move. Oh, sorry. I have to read 8 first. I do nothing at all. Na eva kinchit karomi iti. I do nothing. Thus would be the harmonized knower of truth. Think, seeking, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, going, sleeping, breathing, speaking, letting go, seizing, opening and closing the eyes, convinced that the senses move among the sense objects. So this is the description of a realized master. A master, a person who has realized that substratum within himself, which is unchanging, which is not doing anything, but because of which all these actions are happening, he comes to realize that when an action happens, it is only the play of the gunas because of which these actions are happening. Therefore, the senses are moving among the sense objects. So when the eyes are seeing, it is the nature of the eyes to look and see color and form, to take in color. They are doing it. What is it to me? I am not the seer. When I talk, when I hear, all the actions, when I sleep, when I get up, when I dream, I don't do anything. Now, this is a realized master, okay? That doesn't mean that the physical action of seeing is not going on. That doesn't mean that the physical action of seizing or letting go or sleeping or dreaming, physically all the actions are going on. But what he's doing is, there is, for him, he's not actually doing it, very honestly speaking, he's not doing it. But what is happening is that a doer is not created. A doer and an enjoyer is not created at all. Now, for us, let us see what it means. Means the I see, but the seer is not there. For a realized master, this is the description of it from the verse. He sees, but there is no seer. He hears, but there is no hearer. He smells, but there is no smeller. He tastes, but there is no taster. He touches, but there is no toucher. What are we doing as ignorant people? So what would be our sadhana first? If he says that I see, but there is no seer, that is the goal that we have to this. So I should also see, but I should, there should be no seer. Okay. I should, because the realized master is seeing, but no seer is there. So I, that is my goal. My goal is to realize. So my goal also should be, I should see, but I should not create a seer. Now, question is, how is this seer created? And how can I avoid creating the seer? And when I say seer, it includes the smeller, taster, toucher, taste, everybody, all the senses, okay? What happens is, see, the eyes, because it is their nature, if the eyes are open, they have no choice but to take in color and form, okay? So they will see this. When is a seer created? How will a seer be created? Whatever that I see when it actually, you know, really touches me. How does it touch? How does a thing touch me? This is a computer screen. I'm looking at that computer screen. How do you think the screen is touching me? Not nice, huh? That too small for me. Too big for me. I don't like that color. Oh, well, is that the clothes that she should have worn to the satsang? Why is she doing like this? Huh, why is she squinting? Shouldn't she be wearing glasses? So what is happening? Seeing is happening and there is a commentary going on inside. That means that seeing is touching me. See, if I just see and then nothing. Okay. If it doesn't touch me, I will not create a seer. But in our case, every time we see, we taste, we smell, we hear, we touch, every time there will be a comment there. Should have been a little bit warmer. No, it's too cold. Soup is too cold. No, what music? This, I don't like this music. Every time, every sense of sensation stimuli that is coming in, it's touching me. Why? Because there is doer inside. There is a doer inside. That means a seer, there is a hearer, taster, toucher, smeller. Every time it touches, now this seer, toucher, everybody is created. So sadhana for us is to see, but don't create a seer. One of the methods of meditation is in one of the schools of philosophy, you sit in a very empty room, okay? And you sit facing the wall. And the wall is completely white. Like there's nothing on the wall. And you keep your eyes open. Not that you keep the eyes closed. You keep your eyes open. So you look at the wall, but there is absolutely nothing other than the white color. So what you do practice is you see, but there's no commentary going on. Only play. For us, what will we look at? Are should have been a picture. No, at least some my Lord's picture should have been there. That is the way that wall will touch us like that. But this is a method of meditation, is to see, but don't create a seer. And of course, then there is no sounds outside. So there is, all those sense organs are kept in control. So this realized master, and this is what is actually happening with us. Truly what is happening is that the gunas are interacting within themselves. So eyes have come from the sattvic aspect of the elements, right? So there is sattva, because knowledge, it is getting knowledge of color and form. So that is sattva. What is being seen is inert. It is tamas, because anything outside of me is inert. It's tamas. It's coming from the tamas. Like if I'm looking at the computer screen, it's tamas. It's an inert object. So that is tamas. And then this rajas is there, which is telling me that the screen is either too small, too big, I don't like it, it should have been this, it should have been that, whatever. That is the rajas aspect. So the sattva, rajas and tamas are constantly reacting with each other, interacting with each other. And then action is happening. That, if I realize that this is being done by the gunas, that is what I should do. As a seeker, this should be my sadhana. This should be my practice. Okay, the gunas are reacting with each other. What is it to me? Every single time, this thought should come. What is it to me? Mind is depressed. Okay, mind, you want to be depressed. What is it to me? I am not the mind. Okay, mind is angry. Okay, you're angry. What is it to me? What is it to me? What is it to me? What if this thought, and the me being with a capital M, not the ego. So if we can keep practicing this, then we will probably reach this stage. So doing your karmas, how do I come to that stage? Starting with karma yoga, starting with purification of the mind, starting with adhering to your own duties, staying within your own, all these things will help. They complement this practice, spiritual practices, okay? So all this should be our sadhana. This is what Bhagwan is telling in these two verses, that the realized master, even though acting, kurvan napi na lipyate, he said, right? So kurvan, that is what this is. Like he's doing, he's seeing, he's touching, tasting, smelling, hearing, everything he's doing. That's why when people look at a realized master, they say, what is the difference between you and me? You bathe and I bathe and you eat and I eat and you attend meetings and I attend meetings. So what is the difference between you and me? This is the difference. There is a difference inside. There is no difference externally. There will not be a difference. The realized master will do exactly the same things that he was doing before realization. He will eat also. He will dress also. He will bathe also. He will do everything. But within himself, he knows for sure that he is not doing anything, because he is now completely identified with that substratum. If I want to identify with the substratum, I have to start. First, it is hypocritical. Let me tell you, what is it to me is very hypocritical. But be a hypocrite. In that, yes, hypocrisy is allowed. Like, that is how you force the mind not to get involved. You force the mind not to become a seer. Force the mind, because the mind is becoming the seer. Ultimately, who is the seer? Mind is. Ultimate seer is Sakshi. To reach that ultimate Sakshi, you force the mind, you practice that the mind should not become a seer, the mind should not become a hearer, the mind should not. So that way the mind will get annihilated. And once the mind annihilates, what remains is Sakshi only. So that is how you would read. That is how would be our sadhana. So we practice not commenting, not judging, just watching, not saying that person is like this, that person is like this. Mind constantly chattering is going on in the mind. Constant chattering. That should be stopped, curtailed. And first, you have to force it. So force. So suppose the first step actually is, at least don't say it. Start with, for us householders, start with, okay, I'm going to make a rule. If somebody tells me something, I am not going to go tell anybody else. I'm not going to go call anybody. I'm not going to call anybody just for hi, hello, if they are not well, or if I'm not well, I need help, they need help. There is some purpose, I will call. Otherwise, I'm not getting. Two people are talking, I'm not going to go interfere. I'm not going to say anything until I'm specifically asked. This is all we have seen in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan Sri Krishna did not start talking until Arjun surrendered. So until I am specifically asked, okay, Jaya, is this, I will speak. If there's somebody else is being, do you know how many people interrupt when two people are talking? Suddenly they will start, right? But for, as spiritual seekers, now we know, at least you can start with these practices. It will help us. This is like at a very, very basic level, I'm telling you, okay? This, to reach this highest level. Because this is the highest. 8 and 9 is the highest. There's nothing beyond that. That is it. But to reach that, we have a long ways to go. And this is one of the, these are the few things that we can start doing. Okay? All right.
ब्रह्मण्याधाय कर्माणि संगम त्यक्त्वा करोति यः लिप्यते न स पापेन पद्मपत्रमिवाम्भसा.
He who does actions, offering them to Brahman, abandoning attachment, is not tainted by sin, just as a lotus leaf remains unaffected by the water on it. So Bhagavan is giving an example here. If you look at the lotus, that's why lotus flower is very important. We always see deities standing in lotus, or we say lotus feet, or when we hear the Om Parthaya, you know, the Gita Dhyana Shlokas also, his eyes were like full-bloomed lotus, Bhagavan Ved Vyasji's eyes. So lotus is very important. The significance of lotus is that it grows in dirt. Kichad, you know, there's all dirt inside the water, but in that dirt also it is above the water and it grows to be a very, very fragrant flower. So the dirt represents this samsara. That is what it is. So we also are born in this dirt, in this filth of samsara, we are born, but like the lotus, we can rise above it. That is the significance of the lotus. And what Bhagavan is saying here is that lotus leaf, of course, botanical explanation is there because inside there's this and that. But the example is that even though it doesn't get wet by the water cannot wet the leaves, and the leaves float above the water. The lotus floats above the water. So water and the dirt representing samsara. So for us also to come above this samsara. So that is the thing. So here what Bhagavan says is the one who is doing actions, offering them to Brahman. So karma yoga. Karma yoga he's doing. Offering action means what? The physical action can never be offered to anybody. Offering the doership. Okay, please understand. What is to be offered is the doership. How do I offer the doership? Considering myself to be an instrument of the Lord. Considering myself to be a servant of the Lord. Considering that any action, it may be any, the smallest of the small actions, considering it as a duty. This is my duty to do. The minute you impose the idea of duty on something, you go about likes and dislikes. Because, of course, no mother likes to get up in the middle of the night and feed the baby who's crying. But no, the mother says, this is my duty. It is my child. Now there is no question of disliking it. Maybe before, even after, who wants to get up in the middle of the night, right? So imposing a sense of duty on every single action will help get over likes and dislikes. And then sangam tyaktva karoti, sangam attachment, tyaktva renounce, abandoning attachment. So attachment here, both to the action and to the results. It's both. What happens is we get attached to a particular action, particular position, then we don't want to let go. See, ultimately, we have to let go of the body also. That is the last, you know, even the body identification has to be let go. Now, if we can't let go of physical things outside, you know, my home and my clothes and my this and that and all, how you will get rid of attachment to the body? So this attachment is to, because we are talking about karma here, so attachment to the karma, attachment to its result, both abandoning all attachment. Huh? So this has once, if it this thing, then is not tainted by sin. Sin here must not again be taken as, oh, he can do theft and all that. No. Every action which creates a bondage is sin in Vedanta. That is the highest definition. Why it is sin? Sin is anything that is creating a cause for rebirth. Whatever that is causing, which becomes a cause for coming back into this samsara. Samsara, I told you, is kichad. It's dirt. So anything that I do which will trigger my coming back into this dirt is sin. Because you're coming back into dirt only, na? You're in dirt and you're coming back into dirt. You're not rising. So it becomes sin. And here sin, you know what? Even good actions will bring us back into this dirt. Please remember that. Of course, it is better to do good actions than bad actions. But that action, any action which is done, if it is done with doership, with the notion that I am doing this and I will get some people, you know, they say they don't want anything in this world, but then they do things thinking that, oh my God, you know, after I die, I should go to heaven. So for swarga, they do. They're attached to swarga. That is also to be given up. That attachment also. So they keep on doing good actions because honestly, they think that, you know, if I do good karmas, then I will go to heaven. So they do good actions. So there is still the attachment to that result of heaven. They don't have anything in mind in this world, but there is an attachment to that result after death. They think that the jiva, and that is attachment to the jiva, because they know that physically, of course, with this body I will not go. They know that heaven is after death only. So death of the body also they don't mind, but they think there is something known as jiva, and that jiva will go into the heavens. So I want to do so. That attachment is there. So all these attachments have to be given up. If they are given up, and here sin means any action done with doership. I shouldn't say any action which is done with doership. Maybe it is good, maybe it is bad. As seekers, we generally don't do any so-called quote-unquote bad actions. Like we don't go steal, we don't go rob, we don't go lie, we don't do all those things. So for us, it is all actions with doership. Is sin, papa, anything that will bring you back. Okay, so here what he says is, even this any action that he does will not taint him, will not bind him. He will remain like that lotus leaf above the dirt of samsara. Okay, now kayena manasa buddhya. कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि हि योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति संगं त्यक्त्वा आत्मशुद्धये. योगीस, हैविंग अबैंडन्ड अटैचमेंट, परफॉर्म एक्शंस merely by the body, mind, intellect and senses for the purification of the self. Actually, I don't know what is in your book, whether the self is spelt with a capital S. It should be small s actually, because purification of the pure self is not possible. So the here Atma Shuddhe, Atma again here is mind. So it is the small s. And this is a very old edition. So yogis having abandoned attachment, and I okay, this, so here there is kevalehi. So this word kevala is there. So this kevala word goes with kayana body, kaya body. So kevala kaya, kevala manasa and kevala buddhya. So the kevala merely only goes with the body, mind and intellect. So and of course the senses. So what he's saying is, these yogis, karma yogis, they will perform every action only with one result as mind, and that is the purification of the mind. Okay, when an ignorant person, it's a small s in my coffee. Yes, thank you, Praveen. thank you message. It should be small s. If anybody's got a big s, then that's not correct. Okay, so kevala, merely by the body, mind, whatever actions, remember that when the mind thinks, it is an action. Okay, if I think, you know, I want to go hurt somebody, or I might even think I want to go help somebody. So that also is an action. Okay, so here, whatever is done for the purification of the mind. So this is the internal result. I told you, karma, internal, external result. Karma yogi, if you want to be a karma yogi, then your act, your attention while doing any and every single action should be on the state of your mind. If the mind is getting agitated while doing action, know that the mind is not at peace. It is going to pieces, and that action can never be deemed as karma yoga. You might be doing it free and, you know, without volunteer work. Helping somebody, driving somebody, but in your mind you're boiling. Oh, I want to do something else. Now I have to drive her. Now I have to help her. Now I care. When the mind is doing, and then you're doing a so-called good action because, you know, you're driving somebody, you're helping somebody, you're buying groceries for somebody. You're doing a good action outside, but inside your mind is agitated. No use. No use. Better not do that. Just tell them, you know what, I don't want to help you. It is better to say, I don't want to do this and remain at peace than to do and get agitated in the mind. So the attention, our attention should not, the external results, you know, it is the law of karma. External results will come. There is no doubt about it. Depending on factors which are unknown to us, whatever is meant to come, it will come to us. We need not worry about it. We should worry about the state of our mind. What we do is we don't worry about our mind. We are only worried about it. Will I get a bonus? Will I get a promotion? Will this happen? Will that? Will they say thank you? Will somebody like me? Will somebody not? So our attention is constantly on what is external, whereas our attention should be on the internal, the mind. And what Bhagwan is saying here is that the one who is a real yogi, the one who is a real karma yogi, Arjun, he only worries about his own mind. He doesn't worry, not that he doesn't worry about other people, but like I said, we are seekers. So it's not a question of hurting anybody. We are doing good actions. So, okay, do as per your capacity, according to whatever that you can do, very happily. You know, suppose if somebody asks you for time, then you give time if you have it. See, you don't have time, now you're squeezing somebody in and you're like, you know what, my God, I didn't have any time, and then I had to run there and do this, and then say, no, I don't have the time. Somebody will ask you for money. Okay, can you comfortably give it? Give. Otherwise, then don't. Don't complain and give. So attention, because then that is not purifying the mind. The idea is purified mind is a calm mind, a peaceful mind. A calm mind is a strong mind. Also, what happens is when the mind is calm, you will have the guts to, some people, you know, they're like, I couldn't say no. Why? Now you're coming and this is what's happening. People are doing good, then they're coming and complaining to me. All right, then don't complain. Either you don't complain or you don't do, and they don't listen. They're like, I couldn't say no. Then why are you complaining to me then? You go. You know, don't. So this is what it is. Keep your mind at peace. While it is at peace, if you can do things, yes, please go ahead and do. If not, you don't. The yogin, the reason that I'm telling you, because the yogins are doing it like that. So whether they do action by the body, the mind, or the intellect, their attention is only on the purification of their Atma Shuddhaye. Atma here again means mind. There is no question of purifying the pure self. So it's only a matter of purifying our own mind. Okay? And we know the reasons why. So I'm going to stop here today. We'll start with 12 next time. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay. Yes, Padmaja. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Yeah, okay.
I can't hear you.
How about now?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I'm going back to the your explanation about seeing and not being the seer.
Yes.
Okay. So thinking about yourself, if I'm thinking that I'm the substratum.
Yes.
Substratum is the seer and the knower and the hearer. Right?
Ultimate seer. No, ultimate sakshi.
Yeah.
Sakshi, witness means one who does not comment. Here when we say seer, I'm commenting.
Okay.
That is not the sakshi. The okay. comment is happening because of the sakshi. The sakshi never comments.
Okay.
Okay. So this in 8 and 9, this person has recognized the substratum and so he never comments on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for us, we have to practice not making comments on things that we see. That way, we will not create a seer, taster, toucher, smeller, etc.
Okay.
One of the things is, you know, when we eat food anywhere, na, if you impose the idea of prasad on it,
mm-hmm.
you know, people go to the temple and they comment on the food. This is temple food. Huh? So what they're creating is a taster. Right? Because then they're saying, you're chani banja. They say, they're not very good. Huh? This is very good. Huh? It is prasad. You don't say that it is good. You don't even say that it is. Because even if you say this is good, you've created a taster. You understand? You have to go beyond good and bad both. We are not asking you to stay with good and give up bad. Of course, give up bad. But ultimate goal is to go beyond both. So without comment, whatever comes in front of you, you eat, and you eat. And there are how many people now in our temple? They put so many boards. Please don't waste. You take little, don't waste, right? People throw in the plate. So when you impose prasad, I'm giving an example. So when I say this is prasad, do you throw prasad in the garbage ever? That's why prasad on the little you take, you eat, whether you may not like that thing that is being given, but now you say that somebody saying this is prasad from the temple, right? So same way with the food.
Mm.
It is prasad, not like it is to fill my belly. Now I take more. Now this is so spicy, you know, now I can't eat. Now I throw this in the plate. That should, if that is done, I'm creating a taster, I'm creating a doer. But now this thing, not to indulge and be a witness with Samatha Praveen's iPad. There's a chat. I don't know whether others can see it or is it only that can see. So that's what it is. Like, don't. Okay. So if you're writing with Sakshi, Sakshi will never. That is the meaning of Sakshi. The witness, when he gives in court, he gives a statement. He's not supposed to say. There's a story, you know, this one guy was called and there was some dispute between two brothers about some land. Now, this witness was called and the witness went to court and said, I think that, you know, these lands belong to the older brother. Then the court said, no, that is not for you to say. That we will decide. The court will decide. You just tell us what you saw, right? That is witness. That is Sakshi.
Okay, one more question. So, yeah. But asked an opinion.
So asked an opinion.
But you are asked an opinion, whether you like it or not.
Then you give. Then you give.
We won't create a doer.
No. Because it is not like, you should not have the feeling, I'm a judge and I gave my opinion. Not like that. Somebody says, you know, please tell me. Or people ask to see if salt is okay, not okay, sweet. You say, no, not okay. Bas finish. Nothing further. Yeah. That is, you've been asked. That's okay. Then you do it. And that too, you know what? If you're really an expert in that field, honestly speaking, right? People ask, my mom used to do that all the time. See, I used to tell her, you know what? I'm used to eating less salt. So whatever you give me, if it is according to your standards, it is more for me. So don't ask me this salt business. Because this is how my husband had blood pressure. So salt in my food is always less, right? So if you're an expert, yes, then you give. But if else, of course, simple things, you know what, if there's somebody says, see, this is too spicy, I mean, that you can tell, you know what I mean? That is okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll close and we'll meet next Monday and start with verse 13. 12, sorry. Okay. Om Purnam.